The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Imagine you've got an Irish-speaking household, that you all speak Irish at home, and you presume, quite rightly, that your child could go to a Gaelscoil because there is one nearby. Doesn't actually always work that way. Máire Trasany Cailleag is a doctor and columnist with the Irish Independent and is on the line. Máire Trasany, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Cathaoir well too.
Táim aga hanua, Ermagin. Now, agus tú féin.
Táim a íontach, táim a brásásta in seo fingrian. I won't complain.
You won't complain. Now, tell us what happened. Tell us about your daughter. You do speak Irish entirely as a household.
Yes, absolutely. Now, obviously, Gaeilge is my first language. I remember learning English, which I know is quite unusual in this country. It's usually the other way around. My other half, he had very minimal Irish until he met me, and bit by bit, he's been learning as the years go on. And then once our daughter was born, he just got much more proficient, obviously, because he was learning along with her, you know. So it's always been all Gaeilge in our house when we're speaking to her. We're very lucky that we managed to find a childminder living nearby as well, who also spoke plenty of Irish. That was brilliant. So she's been immersed in Gaeilge as much as we can. I bring her home to Inchiaru as often as I can. She speaks to her cousins, she FaceTimes. So obviously the natural progression is, okay, well, obviously I'll enroll her in the local Gaelscoil, and no more than creches and childcare facilities around the country, you're told as soon as that child is even less than a twinkle in your eye, you better go and get their name on the list. So I got in touch with the local Gaelscoil and asked just what their enrollment policies were, and again, this is absolutely no criticism of that school or the principal or anything like that. He just laid it out very simply to me. There's more children who want to get in here than we can facilitate. So there is a waiting list, and there's a process, and there's an enrollment policy. And the black and white is there's no guarantee you get a place, because the children who get first dibs basically are children who already have siblings in the school. They can only take a certain amount of children every year. So we won't know until she's 3 years old now. And, you know, people always say, oh, I assume you'll send her to the Gaelscoil. And my honest answer is, I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. And I just think in this day and age, that's mad is too weak a way to describe it. Like, it's just purely wrong. A child should be entitled to an education in the first official language of the state.
Now, for the Gaelscoil, and as you say, you don't want to embarrass them because they have less capacity than what is required
fault.
For
They're
the population.
Good.
But do they have, for example, a point system, you know, where having an Irish-speaking household would be more acceptable to them than those
yes.
who don't have any parent or any sibling who actually speaks the language?
Absolutely, yes. So what they do have an enrollment policy, like I was saying, if you have older siblings in the school, that kind of gives you first dibs on a place. And then the next criteria is children who speak Irish in the home. Now, interestingly, there will be a screw though. We probably will have to send in a video to prove that she does speak Irish and that she can understand Gaeilge. Which I was glad that at least they do have that, because I know there are some Gaelscoilne who don't even have that. It's a bit of a free-for-all. So you would hope, but there's no guarantee. And I'm just one of those people, I like to know things and I like to make my plans. And I suppose this is very familiar to parents all over the country, never mind Gaelscoilne. If they have a preferred school they want to send their child to, they might know to the weeks or months just beforehand what's going to happen. And it's a bit unnerving. And I suppose for me, I feel an extra layer of stress too, because I feel just this responsibility. I want my child to be able to speak my language. And I want, very importantly, that when she goes home to her relatives in Connemara, that she can speak to them in their own language as well.
Sure. I mean, we see efforts being made for the immigrant population who have come to Ireland, whether they're Ukrainian or Polish or whatever, to make sure that they can continue with their education so that they remain proficient in their own language to visit those relatives and so on, wherever they may be. Now, the question of why there is such a resurgence in the interest in Gaelscoilne, particularly in the language. I mean, you can have the trendy stuff, you know, wrapping our Gaeilge and all the rest of it. But is it simply that people think that kids who go to Gaelscoilne and go through primary school and secondary school really do get a jump in the Leaving Cert when it comes to getting high points?
That's definitely perception, and it is true. I mean, if you look at some of the university league tables, I can think of a few schools dotted around Dublin who tend to be one of the top feeder schools in Toronto UCD, for example. That's definitely perception, and it is reality in some places. I do think overall that potentially every teacher, I think the vast majority of teachers in this country love their job, but I think people would accept that teachers in Gaelscoilne are very invested. There's a project, there's a philosophy, there's a mindset, there's a view of the world that's like enriching. It's not just about learning, it's about keeping a language and a culture alive. So they're really into it. So I think that creates a more immersive experience for the child, and the children come out much more enriched. And from speaking to people who teach in Gaelscoilne and Gaelchulóistí as well, they're often very, very open to different cultures, different minorities, like you just mentioned there. So children tend to go to school, I find that they might just get more of a a melting pot of cultures and ideas and imaginations. So that tends to give somebody who's a bit more rounded and potentially a bit, you know, a bit more proficient in education, obviously the Irish language as well. You're getting your marks for your Leaving Cert. You're getting hopefully your automatic top marks or very near to it in Gaeilge, which sets you very, very quickly onto whatever course you want to do in your CAO. So it all adds up. So I think that perception is there. And then there's people just there because they like the idea of it. Some people do want to educate their children as Gaeilge. It's not about points. It's not about who they're meeting with. It's not about where the school is. It's not about the address. It's just, I want my child to be able to speak Gaeilge.
Now, the question of Gael Scullin themselves, I mean, the various ministers and departments over the years say, aren't we great? Look at all the Gael Scullin we have now compared to years ago. But you would make the point that many of those came from grassroots up, not from the department down.
Exactly. The vast majority of Gael Scullin have been opened up because parents pull together, because teachers pull together. I know of Gael Scullin and Gael Chláiste around the country where teachers who started them up might have done the first year or the first 2 years without even a wage, just to start it from a prefab in the corner of a dirty playground where they hoped that there were more children than rats in around the place. That's how a lot of these places started up. Communities built them from the ground up, like you said. Parents, oftentimes maybe Irish speakers, people like myself who might have moved to other areas from the country, they're like, okay, I want to create this educational opportunity for my child, which they should be entitled to. Meanwhile, the department, and in fairness, anyone who's, I'm sure there's lots of very good people working in the Department of Education, but speak to anyone, they will always say policy is years behind where the people on the ground are working. And I suppose what really, I suppose, would trigger me on this is the fact that, let's not forget, primary school teachers are supposed to be proficient as Gaeilge. So they can't even say it's a money issue. The cost would be minimal because all the teachers are supposed to be able to speak as
Gaeilge. But Mar Trasa, think about this. You know, every primary school teacher is supposed to be proficient in Irish. Now, if the minister said, you can all speak Irish, therefore, with a flick of a switch, we're designated this school or that school, a Gael school. Now, you know, the truth is that they're not proficient in Irish at all.
Absolutely. No, and you're dead right. And that would be cruel. And it would be unusual punishment for a lot of them because it's not their fault. I don't blame any teacher who's come out of the system who does not feel confident and does not feel fully proficient because the Department of Education and the education they receive and the education they are getting is not good enough. They're not getting enough opportunity. There isn't enough emphasis on learning how to speak Irish, learning to understand Irish. The syllabus is all wrong. And I don't want to go down this route of, oh, it's taught wrong, because find me a subject that's taught well in this country. But, you know, Irish is just, it's gone the wrong way. So if you come out, imagine you come out of college and you're not confident and you don't know something really to the level you should know, how are you expected to teach it? It's not their fault. So I think we do need a framework. We need a plan. We need a Minister for Education to be brave and to come out and say, do you know what now? Going to designate some schools, and we're going to also designate a target that, say, from year 2030, every primary school from Nenagh Vega, or at the very least, if it's a large town, that there's a significant portion of those schools, will be able to start doing it as Gaeilge from Nenagh Vega, Nenagh Mór. Build it up. You can't flick the switch. That'd be ridiculous. It'd be cruel to everyone involved. But you can lay down a framework, and you can be a bit bold, and you wouldn't know what they'd achieve.
Okay, well, a final point is about your own experience speaking Irish. You'd like to speak Irish wherever you can. Dealing with Official Ireland, can you always do your business as Gaeilge?
Not at all. Holy Moses, are you joking me? It's a nightmare. But I will give out roses to the people who are good. Revenue are amazing. If you press the Sheriff as Gaeilge in, you will get a fluent Irish speaker within a few minutes. It's a great way to skip the queue. But in general, Official Irish will make you feel like an absolute pain, or Official Ireland, should I say, will make you feel like an absolute pain in the posterior if you ask for your legislative and legal entitlement for Sheriff as Gaeilge. You're a pain. They will mispronounce your name. They will continue to mispronounce their name. They will roll their eyes. They will start laughing about fathers. They'll start telling you about their terrible experiences. And I just kind of take the approach, look, I don't abuse, you know, maths teachers because I don't like trigonometry. I don't start giving out to English teachers about Shakespeare. Spare me whatever stereotypes you're carrying in yourself. And really, the vast majority of people are absolutely amazing, but Official Ireland has a lot of work to do.
Mara Trasa Ní Cealla, Gurmina Mahagat. Mara Trasa is a doctor and columnist with the Irish Independent and, of course, frequently heard on our airwaves as well. Mara Trasa, thanks very much.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.